Good morning.
Morning.
Good to see you today.
Good to see you.
Thank you. Have any of you ever helped someone plant flowers or vegetables or anything?
Yeah.
You have? You've planted some things? Good. Then you can tell me how to do it.
Well, first you have to buy the seeds. Then you find a good place to plant them.
Okay, find a good place to plant them.
Then you dig.
You dig a hole?
Not too big, but then you drop seeds in. And then you cover that with dirt, water it. And then you water it. Depends on what kind of plant it is, but you have to water it.
Uh-huh.
And then you wait, and then you grow.
You didn't hear all that, but he had all the parts in there. I brought just a few seeds here.
That's enough to plant a flower. Wait, those are popcorn seeds.
No, this is just regular corn.
Corn seeds, though.
Yeah. You know, when you plant like one seed like that, what are you going to get? It grows.
Popcorn.
No, this isn't popcorn. This is regular
corn.
Yeah. You're going to get ear of corn, right?
Yeah.
And on that ear of corn, let's see, all the rows. There must be 100 or 200, I don't know how many, more kernels like that, aren't there, on an ear of corn?
1 million.
1 million? I think that's a little high. And some corn stalks have two ears on it, so it would be even twice that many. So you start with one, and you get a whole lot more, don't you?
Like, it starts with God.
Yeah.
And then it comes to all of us.
Yeah. Well, Jesus was talking in our scripture today about planting seeds, and he said they have to die. What he meant was you have to get them in the ground before they're going to do anything, and then they grow. And what he was really talking about was himself. He was trying to tell people that he was going to have to die so that all of us could join him in heaven someday. That was the message he was trying to get across. Just like these have to die or be put in the ground, be buried for them to grow, he had to die so that all of us could grow to be like him and go to heaven. I think that's a wonderful thing for him to do for us. Will you do an echo prayer with me again?
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father,
thank you for Jesus.
And all his teachings. Help us to follow. Amen. And thank you for coming up here.
The scripture for today is from John chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. Some Greeks were among those who had come up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and made a request. "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The time has come for the human one to be glorified. I assure you that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it can only be a single seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their lives will lose them, and those who hate their lives in this world will keep them forever. Whoever serves me must follow me. Wherever I am, there my servant will also be. My Father will honor whoever serves me. Now I am deeply troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this time? No, for this is the reason I have come to this time. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard and said, "It's thunder." Others said, "An angel spoke to him." Jesus replied, "This voice wasn't for my benefit, but for yours. Now is the time for judgment of this world. Now this world's ruler will be thrown out. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to me." He said this to show how he was going to die.
It's amazing, young eyes.
It's a long ways down in that small print. I'd have to bring it up here. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, and the actions of all of our lives this coming week be found acceptable in your sight. Amen.
I've read that the way to the top of the highest peak in the French Alps, there is a small inn. And this inn provides rest for the mountain climbers. It is called, in English, the Mediocre Inn, which in French, I've been told, means simply halfway. Imagine coming off a day of climbing in the icy, windy French Alps. The cold has seeped into your bones. You're exhausted. Every muscle in your body hurts. And at the Mediocre Inn, you find a hot meal, a warm bed, a blazing fireplace. And you begin to relax, put your feet up, and get comfortable. Who wouldn't like that? But success is not found in rest and comfort. Reaching the top of the mountain requires going back out into the cold and the wind. It requires stretching, straining, and working towards the goal. I hear 80% of the climbers never go any farther than the Mediocre Inn. 80%. Once they've had a day or two of rest and comfort and warmth, they turn around and descend the mountain. They lose the determination to reach their final goal. We've all spent our time in the Mediocre Inn, haven't we? Not the one in the Alps, perhaps, but we have our own Mediocre Inn. And most of us are not too happy about it. Maybe that's why heroes are so important to us. We like hearing about people who pick up where the rest of us leave off and make it the rest of the way to the top of the mountain. In the 2003 Tour de France, American Tyler Hamilton suffered a fractured collarbone when another cyclist fell, causing a 35-cycle accident. Collarbone injuries are painful. They heal slowly because there's no way to cast it, to hold it together. No one expected Hamilton to return to the race. But the following morning, Tyler Hamilton set out on the next leg of the Tour de France. And he finished that leg. How tough was it? The pain was so great that he destroyed 11 teeth by gritting them so hard because of the pain. The feat of finishing with a broken collarbone was so unprecedented, his competitors demanded proof of his injury. And so the doctors released the x-rays to the newspapers to prove Hamilton really had ridden this grueling race with a broken collarbone. I can't imagine that, can you? He was hurting so badly, he destroyed 11 teeth from gritting them so hard. It reminds me of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane while sweat like great drops of blood poured off of him. Of course, Jesus was not trying to win a bicycle race. He was trying to win our souls. We read about the determination of Tyler Hamilton. It says to us, this is what it takes to be successful in this world. Whether you're building a career, or a family, or a life, are you willing to give your all? And then we come to these words in the scripture that Sam read a few moments ago. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And deep in our bones, we realize that Jesus is talking about a way of life that does not stop at the mediocre inn. I think most of us dream of excellence, don't we? None of us sets out to be less than we could be. We want the very best in our lives. That's why people who make it to the top of the mountain thrill us so much. A few years ago, Barbara and I visited St. Paul's Cathedral in London. It's packed with memorials to people who have impacted England in a noble way. These Brits who never stopped at the mediocre inn. There's a massive memorial to the Duke of Wellington, victor at Waterloo. There's a memorial to General Charles Gordon bearing this epitaph. He gave his strength to the weak, his substance to the poor, his sympathy to the suffering, his heart to God. Wow. Wouldn't that be a great thing to be in your tombstone someday for people to see? He or she gave her strength to the weak, her substance to the poor, her sympathy to the suffering, her heart to God. That's what we want, isn't it? We don't want to live in the mediocre inn. We want our lives to make a difference. We want to be remembered well by people who love us. We want to be remembered as people who made a contribution to our community and to the world. Even more important, we want to stand unashamed before God. We would prefer a life of excellence. I think that's one reason we come to worship. We come to be inspired. We want to hear about the heroes of the Bible. We want to hear the challenging words of the prophets and St. Paul. Most of all, we want to hear the words of Jesus. For we know that He is the way, the truth, and the life. With His help, we believe we can have an exceptional life. So I want us to examine these words that He gave us this morning. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will have it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will be also. And he concludes, my Father will honor the one who serves me. To escape the mediocre inn, we need to recognize that life is not about us. Jesus calls us to a life of service. Notice the words carefully. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates this life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. If we think that the meaning of life is primarily concerned with our comfort, our happiness, our contentment, we will never heed the summons of the Master to a life of excellence, because life is about service. Philip Yancey is an outstanding Christian author who began his career as a journalist interviewing diverse people. Looking back, he divides people into two types. There are the stars and the servants. The stars include sports greats, movie actors, music performers, famous authors, TV personalities, and the like. These people dominate our news magazines and our television programs. We pore over the minutiae of their lives, the clothes they wear, the food they eat, the aerobic exercises they follow, the people they love, their toothpaste. It's all there. And yet Yancey says these idols are as miserable a group of people as he has ever met. Most have troubled or broken marriages. Nearly all are hopelessly dependent on psychotherapy. In a heavy irony, these larger-than-life heroes are tormented by incurable self-doubt. He also spent time with servants. People like Dr. Paul Brand, who worked for 20 years among the poorest of the poor, leprosy patients in rural India, health workers who left high-paying jobs to serve with Mendenhall Ministries in a backwater town of Mississippi, relief workers in Somalia, Sudan, Ethiopia, Bangladesh, or other places of world-class human suffering, PhDs scattered throughout the jungles of South America, translating the Bible into obscure languages. And Yancey says he was prepared to honor and admire these servants, to hold them up as inspiring examples. But he says he was not prepared to envy them. But as he now reflects on the two groups side by side, stars and servants, the servants clearly emerge as the favored ones. They work for low pay, long hours, no applause, using their talents and skills among the poor and the uneducated. But somehow, in the process of losing their lives, they have found them. They have received that peace that does not come from this world. Do you get it? It's not about us. Happiness is about finding something bigger than us and giving ourselves to it without reservation. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. This is to say that a commitment to excellence begins with a commitment to Jesus Christ. Have you ever made a New Year's resolution? How did that go? It's important to set goals and to work hard to reach those goals. But like the 80% hikers who stop at the mediocre inn, it is very difficult to reach the top of the mountain we set as our personal goals. What we need is a personal coach who will challenge us, encourage us, and empower us. When we commit our lives to Christ by praying that we shall have the same mind as was in Christ, we commit our lives to a person, and then Christ gives us our purpose. It might be a lofty purpose, such as solving an injustice in society, or maybe the challenging goal of being a good parent to our children. But it makes a difference in choosing our goals and pursuing our goals when we know that Christ is living his life through us. This is the key to a real success in life. It is the key not only to accomplishing our dreams, it is also the assurance that when we have accomplished those dreams, we will find fulfillment and peace. A man writes, and I'm going to quote this, 2 weeks ago, for the first time in my life, I went to a funeral of a man my own age. I didn't know him well, But we worked together, talked to each other from time to time, and had kids about the same age. He died suddenly over the weekend. A bunch of us went to the funeral thinking it could be just as easily have been me. That was 2 weeks ago. They've already replaced him at the office. I hear his wife is moving out of state to live with her parents. 2 weeks ago, he was working 50 feet away from me, and now it's as if he never existed. It's like a rock falling into a pool of water. For a few seconds, it makes ripples in the water, and then the water is the same as it was before. But the rock isn't there anymore. I've hardly slept since then. I can't stop thinking that it could happen to me, and that one day it will happen to me, and a few days later I will be forgotten as if I had never lived. Shouldn't a man's life be more than that? End of quote. Philip Yancey interviewed stars and servants. And it was the servants he came away not only admiring, but also envying. They had not only escaped a mediocre inn, but they had found a joy and peace that this world could not know. They had given their life to a person, and he had given them a purpose. This is the secret to life. The person who loves his life is going to lose it. While the person who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves Jesus must follow Jesus. And where Jesus is, his servant also will be. And God will honor the one who serves Jesus. Amen.